Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. If we're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip.
All right, you soldiers of Yahweh, this is your wake-up call. And this wake-up call is for the 28th of December, 2017. And this is going to be what they call the Beatitudes or whatever. They've got names for it. It's Matthew Chapter 5. I was worried about what exactly I would do for today. I didn't have anything, and then I opened up the book and it just reached out and grabbed me. I went through some things and I got into Matthew and hit chapter 5 and just had to stop. This is a series of instructions from Yeshua Messiah to us. And I think we need to go over them again because of all that's going on out in the world today. The world is deteriorating rapidly. And we really need to grab hold of this anchor that Yeshua gave us. On how to live our lives. Because a lot of us are sort of drifting right now and we're confused because of all the events that are happening. And we're having a rough time deciding which way to turn, and we need to reestablish some of our anchors. There are multiple anchors. Oh yes, and this is one of them. I will be reading from the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. It's a Sacred Name Bible, and it's my favorite, okay? It's very accurate. I will be explaining as we go through all these verses here in Matthew chapter 5, certain things that new people might miss. I don't know. The old faithful just nod their heads and listen to this wisdom. And new people, they might get a new take on things, and it'll straighten them up. I still have a little cough. I don't know why. It's dry in here, and I've got my coffee, so we will make it through. Let's get into this. Matthew chapter 5. But when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his taught ones came to him. These are the disciples. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Verse 2. "And And having opened his mouth, he was teaching them, saying, all right, let's stop right here. He was teaching his disciples. The words that he is giving his disciples only apply to Israel. It doesn't apply to mixed multitudes. It doesn't apply to those who use the Talmud. It doesn't apply to more people than it does apply to. Because right now, those that are not of his sheep are not concerned with these things. They're in the world. They're living their life in the world. And they're not really bothered. Oh, some of them will go to church and know that. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. But it's not inside, okay? It's not for them. It is for Israel. So let's get started in verse 3. I don't know whether I'll get all of these done. I may expand this into a two-show study. I don't know. Depends on where the Holy Spirit leads me today. I can't tell you. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There needs to be a little pause there. We're not talking about people that are poor in spirit. They don't have any spirit. We're talking about the financially poor that are blessed with spirit. People that don't lust after stuff. So they don't earn a tremendous amount of money or forego that, even if they have an opportunity, because they need to witness or they need to do some service for Yahweh. And there's a lot of us out here that have just given up the life of the world for spiritual things. Because we know that the spiritual things are going to last and the things of the world are not. Okay? Think about that. Lay up your treasures in heaven. You know, the ones on earth are hay and stubble. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, because they shall be comforted. Mourning over a lost loved one. Mourning over their brothers and sisters because they see the road to perdition open wide and their brothers and sisters going down that road, and they are mourning for them. That is a two-edged verse. It grieves me to see my Israelite brothers and sisters out here going down the wrong path. That bothers me because I care. And if you care, you cannot help but mourn for the loss of those souls, unless you can get to them. So we keep on keeping on. Okay. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, because they shall inherit the earth. Now, what does meek mean? It means great strength hidden. Doesn't mean wimpy. Doesn't mean cowardly. Doesn't mean people that just absolutely let the enemy run over the top of them without resistance. That's not what it means. It means people that are not braggadocious. Oh, I'm so tough, man. Bring it on. Well, you might not be that tough. They might overwhelm you. Then what are you going to do? But if you're meek, you have great strength inside. Spiritual strength goes right back to verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You're given the spirit. And always we must remember that we are all sinners. And that Yahshua had to redeem us. We're not better. We are not better. So don't puff yourself up. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because they shall be filled. People that want to obey Yahweh's laws, people that are passionate about them, they can't get enough of them. They want to be obedient because their heart is wholly, completely with Yahweh. They have made the choice and turned themselves over to the Father. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. They thirst after righteousness. That's the main thing in their life, not stuff. Verse 7. Blessed are the compassionate, because they shall obtain compassion. Remember the saying, what goes around comes around? Well, that applies here. If you see a brother or sister hurting, they've had a tragedy in their family, it's hit them hard, or something's happened in their life, they've got a disease or whatever. Somebody that's hurting, and because you love your neighbor as yourself, you feel for them. Well, somebody's going to feel for you. Somebody's going to be compassionate toward you. I know I personally have experienced that. I have had compassion and help and love poured over me by a number of true Israelite brothers and sisters over this heart attack thing. And that did me more good than all the medicines they could give me. The prayers that went out that were heard of devout people has sparked my healing. Yahweh hears those prayers. And I'm back in His service. The Father wants me doing this. You know how good that feels? Oh. It's a modern day miracle? Yahweh hasn't stopped doing miracles. We just don't see any real big ones right now, but they're coming. He's busy working among us. getting ready and getting us ready for this final battle coming up against the adversary and the minions and children of the adversary. And we need to keep good courage and get ready for that. Verse 8, blessed are the clean in heart, because they shall see Elohim. Those of us that purge what's in our heart, kick out all the things of the world. It has to be a willing choice. Willing choice. I don't want this in my life. This is sin. I want to get rid of this, and Yahweh will remove it. Verse 9. Now this is, how shall I put this? This verse is another double-edged verse. Okay. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called sons of Elohim. Now we are not to make peace with the adversary or his minions. But within our ranks, we sometimes have squabbles. It is the way of men. It's the way of Adam kind. And there are those among us that, now, wait a minute, fellas, let's calm down and take a good look at this. They're the peacemakers. And they keep the rest of us on track in this fight against the adversary. We don't need to fight among ourselves. Yeah, we might have a few little differences. But we have the common enemy that we're going to have to battle. So we need to have peace in our own house, not frivolous squabbles among us. And I've been guilty of this just the same as others. I'm not puffing myself up and pointing the finger at other people. I'm pointing at the guy in the mirror. Okay, my greatest problem in this world is the guy in the mirror. It's me. I need to overcome me and my inclinations at times. I have to work real hard. Because I'm still a man, and I still have an ego, and I still have this, and I still have that, and it's tough to overcome that. So the people among us, in the brethren that make peace within the house of Israel, are blessed. That's a double-edged verse. Verse 10. Blessed are those persecuted for righteousness' sake, because theirs is the reign of the heavens. Oh boy, how many of us have gone down before the beast? How many of us have websites hacked and attacked? Personal attacks, name calling by the minions of the adversary out there that revile us, and oh, you're this and you're that and you're a phony and you're blah, 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 blah. And we counter them with chapter and verse, and they still keep on. They just keep it up. Because they're driven by an evil spirit. Think on that. why do certain people do what they do? Because they're not of the sheep of our master, Yeshua. They're creatures of the adversary, and it is their nature to behave like that. That's their nature. And verse 11 is tied in with that last verse. Blessed are you when they reproach and persecute you and falsely say every wicked word against you for my sake. Because we stand for the Messiah. We stand on his words. We don't let these people get away with perverting the scriptures. And boy, do they hate that. And when we preach Yeshua Messiah, those that hate him are all over us like white on rice. And if they can't find any little flaw, they'll make one up and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it till the brain dead believe it. That's their method. Oh, I'm glad Yahweh led me to this. This is, verse by verse, this is turning out great. I'm very pleased. Thank you, Father. Verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward in the heavens is great. For in this way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In other words, we're not the first and we're not going to be the last that have to suffer persecution for telling the truth. And you, brothers and sisters, every time you witness and tell the truth, if somebody lashes out at you with their tongue and reviles you because of it, you fall under that. You are going to get a blessing for telling the truth. Because the word of Yahweh does not go out in vain. Somebody's going to hear it. Even though they may agree and lash out with the reviler, it'll work on them and eat at them, and they'll think about it and maybe have an opportunity to come back into the fold. Hey, we all sinned. All of us. Everybody. Every preacher, every deacon, every evangelist. All of us. There's none of us who are above sin. We've all done it. Some of the greatest preachers I've ever heard are people that were just absolute rotters before, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and just slap the heck out of them like it did me. I am not the man I used to be. Praise Yahweh. He's cleaned me up and made me somebody different. And his cleanness is my cleanness, not my cleanness. The cleanness of Yeshua Messiah, the miracles and the teachings of Yeshua Messiah cover over my sins. Otherwise, I would be doomed. And it's joyful. I mean, I can't help but laugh at the foolishness of my own life. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes tasteless, How shall it be seasoned? For it is no longer of any use but to be thrown out and to be trodden down by men. In other words, if you have faith for a little while and then back off because the world is more appealing, you are no longer of any use if you walk away. You got to stay the course. That's what he said. Run your race. Run that race until it's finished. Because your life here is meaningless. It's only a testing ground. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain. We bring enlightenment, not physical. We don't light a candle, turn on a flashlight, hit a floodlight switch. Spiritual enlightenment that we share with others. Verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. In other words, be bold in your witness about Yeshua Messiah and the laws of Yahweh still in effect. And it shines to all those in the house of Israel. That's the only house that matters. These other creatures are creatures. It is not possible for them to be redeemed. If they're good, they're good, and they will live out their life. And when it is ended, it is ended. They don't have eternal life. They're not promised eternal life like we are. That's the battle that we're fighting. To be admitted into the kingdom by obeying and standing firm. Verse 16, listen to this. Let your light shine so shine, your spiritual light, let them see it in you, before men. Adam. So that they see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven. Not you. Your good works, brothers and sisters, are only a manifestation of the Father's will. He does the good works through us. We choose to serve Him, and these are blessings given to us by the Father. Think on that. Yeah, pardon me, I had to clean out my sinuses. Now here is an important verse. Verse 17. This is Yeshua speaking, remember? Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah, that's the law, or the prophets. That's the pre-messianic scriptures. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. And I agree with this translation. This is a good translation. The law and the prophets without Messiah is incomplete. He fulfilled if you want to go with another translation, all the prophecies in the Old Testament of him. Okay? That's fulfilled. And it's continuing to be fulfilled as he gets ready to come back. All right. This verse, this next verse, applies now. Verse 18. For truly, I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, in other words, when the new heaven and new earth descend here and all is changed, one jot or one tittle, that's the dot of an I or cross of a T, shall by no means pass from the Torah, the law, till all be done, fulfilled, okay, completed. Now, there are pieces and parts that have been completed. We no longer sacrifice animals for the remission of sin. Yahshua took the place of that because the animals were not perfect and they could not cover over the sins of the entire race of Israel. His sacrifice he willingly made could do that. And that's tough to comprehend. But it is conditional. You have to accept it and then you have to live by it. You just can't say, oh, I believe, and then continue on in the world and doing all the rotten things. No. Now listen to this. Verse 19. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. Okay. He does and teaches them in a mighty way. These Judeo-Christian preachers say the law is nailed to the cross and it doesn't, and we don't have to obey it anymore. All of the stuff is passed away. That's a lie and goes against this saying right here. They're teaching men error because they are following the Antichrist. They've been bought and paid for. And their church is a business, not a house of worship. It is a place to disseminate propaganda. All right. Verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, stop right here. They were considered lawless by the Messiah. You can reference Matthew 23, verse 28. The children of the devil. They were teaching Babylonian Talmudism. Again, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter into the reign of the heavens. They're not going to make it. Verse 21. You heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. You can reference Exodus 20, verse 13, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 22, but I say to you that whoever is wroth with his brother without a cause shall be liable to judgment. Love your neighbor or your brother as yourself. If you're mad at him because of your ego, that's a sin. Continuing on in verse 22, and whosoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. That was the judges, okay? And they were false judges, and they would judge people. And, of course, if you slipped them some money, just like today, well, continuing on, but whoever says you fool shall be liable, to fire of Gehenna. Now, what is Gehenna? Let's stop. I will define that for you. It is gay, G-E-Y, Hinnom. That is the valley of Hinnom, the son of Hinnom. Now, what was the valley of the son of Hinnom in Yahshua's day? Now, they put the word Gehenna in here. It is not Gehenna. It is Gehinnom. Gehinnom. That is the valley where they took all the garbage and unclean things and burned it. They had fires going there all the time to burn unclean things. And if you call your brother a fool when he's trying to teach you righteousness, you will be burned in the fire with the rest of the unclean things, because you're not loving your brother as yourself. Boy, is that a new take, isn't it? Huh? Ma'am? Yeah, a little golden nuggets in here. Verse 23, pardon me. I was a little too far away. If then you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother holds whatever against you. In other words, you've offended your brother somehow. And you haven't made it right. Verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go and first make peace with your brother. Seek his forgiveness and apologize for whatever you have done. And then come and offer your gift, because at that time they were still offering gifts. The temple was still in existence. And if you were not clean spiritually, you were not fit to offer that gift to Yahweh. Verse 25. Be well-minded with your opponent promptly while you are on the way with him, lest your opponent deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Well, they would throw you into prison for debts back then. So you had to be cool with anybody you might be contending with. Okay. If you owe somebody a debt and you really owe them, you need to pay them. You can't cheat people. And that's shown right here in verse 26. Truly, I say to you, you shall by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. They had debtors' prison back then. They don't have that now. Verse 27. You heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Now there's another two-edged verse. That's Exodus 20, 14, and Deuteronomy 5, 18. Verse 28, but I say to you that everyone looking at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, adultery is messing with a woman of another race. And if you lust after one of these non-Israelite women, that's adultery. If you lust after another man's wife, which is not mentioned here, that's adultery. It adulterates that marriage to make it impure. What was the penalty for adultery back then? You were stoned to death. What would happen if all these coal burners out here were stoned to death? They took them out in a gravel pit and everybody threw rocks at them until they were dead. Boy, that would bring that for a screeching halt, wouldn't it? That's biblical. This is New Testament. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, Judeo-Christians. Verse 29, and if your right eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it away from you. Now, he's not talking about picking at your eye. Something you see, an object. This is metaphorical. For it is better for you that one of your members perish than for your entire body to be thrown into Gehenna again. If you got something you lust after and it's getting in between you and Yahweh, you need to pluck it away and get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Because it will drag you down to the pit of unclean things later. And you won't enter the kingdom. Verse 30. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, that's something that you do. The right hand always signifies an action in the Hebrew. That is a metaphor for an action that you do. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. Stop doing what you're doing. Okay? For it is better for you that one of your members perish. In other words, you get rid of something unclean in your life than for your entire body to be thrown into Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom. Gehinnom. The valley of unclean things. There's a lot more to this stuff. You have to study all of this and you'll find out all these words mean things. Verse 31. And it has been said, whoever puts away his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. That's mankind's willfulness. It has been said. By whom? By men. Okay. Verse 32. But I say to you, this is Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh, manifested on this planet. But I say to you that whoever puts away his wife, except for the matter of whoring, if she's out running around on you, makes her commit adultery because she's going to go out and find herself a man because you've kicked her out and she has carnal desires and it's going to make her sin. Unless she becomes chaste and goes back to her parents' house and lives as a widow for the rest of her life. And this finishes that verse, verse 32. And whoever marries a woman who has been put away commits adultery. If you marry a divorced woman, this is Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh speaking. And that's going to be real unpopular out there. Oh, man. He is giving an explanation of the law. Now, whether you or I or anybody else doesn't like that, I'm sorry to say that it is irrelevant because we don't like the law of Yahweh doesn't make it of less effect. Boy, that's going to make people unhappy. Verse 33. Again, you heard that it was said to those of old by men, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to Yahweh. And this explains that, verse 34. But I say to you, this is the authority of Yahweh in the flesh speaking, do not swear at all, neither by the heaven, because it is Elohim's throne, verse 35, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Yerushalayim, for it is the city of the great sovereign, the city of the king. Verse 36, nor swear by your head, because you are not able to make one hair white or black. You have no control over that. Verse 37, but let your word, yea, in other words, yes, be yea, and your no be no. And what goes beyond these is from the wicked one. If you overextend yourself, that's the work of the devil. Now, you are going to have to remember in verse 1 and 2, he is teaching his taught ones, disciples. This is meant for them. It is not meant for everybody. It has good applications. But this is for the disciples only. In some instances, verse 38, you heard that it was said by men, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the old law of vengeance. Exodus 21, verse 24, Leviticus 24, verse 20, and Deuteronomy 19, 21. Verse 39, but I say to you, this is Yeshua, do not resist the wicked. This is to his disciples, because he doesn't want to sully their witness. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. It makes them look bad, the adversary slapping you. That's what he's telling his disciples. Now, what happens to the rest of us? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the general population of Israel. This is to his disciples. They're going to go out in their ministry and he's giving them an instruction manual on their ministry. Now, these are good sayings for the rest of us. But specifically, he was teaching his taught ones. Oh, boy. Whew. Like the thing with adultery. Don't marry a woman that's divorced. Well, these were the disciples. They had to be holier than the average guy. See where I'm going with this? But it also spills over into general population. Verse 40. And he who wishes to sue you and take away your inner garment, let him have your outer garment as well. Don't get into legal contentions with people. That's what he's telling his disciples. It's going to detract from your ministry. Verse 41. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. It makes them look bad. It makes the adversary look bad and amplifies the ministry of the disciples. Verse 42. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wishes to borrow from you, do not turn away. In other words, he's telling his disciples to be charitable. Verse 43, you heard that it was said, again, of men, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those cursing you, do good to those hating you, and pray for those insulting you and persecuting you. This is to the disciples, because it amplifies their ministry. Verse 45, so that you become sons of your Father in the heavens. They had to be different than the average Joe, because he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Because if you continue on and witness to people, you may convert some of these people, disciples. Okay? That's why we at EFR can't give up. We just keep on preaching. And if it falls on deaf ears, it does. But if it reaches one out there, that's a great victory. I'm going to have to stop right here. I've run out of time. we'll pick up more of this into chapter 6 next week. May Yahweh bless and keep you and work miracles in your life as he has done in mine. Praise Yahweh.
Live. Live. Hip. 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.